How's it going, ladies and gentlemen? It is 9 a.m. on a Sunday, so you know what that means. It's basketball time. With me, I have an hour show with my good friend Taylor, my other good friend Brian. So we're going to talk about basketball, but first, Curtis Blow. All right. How is it going, Brian? Are you on the line?
I am. Hello, hello.
Hey, how's it going? And Taylor, you're here as well?
I am here. What's happening, Josh?
It's going well. It's going well. We had a great week of basketball. Got that Dame Lillard buzzer beater that happened this week. It feels like forever ago. But where do you guys want to start? Because we'll start with round one. We'll get into round two a little bit later. So series?
I think the Dame Lillard place is a great, great place to start.
Good choice. Good choice, Brian. Yeah.
I think that was a good one.
Yeah. Absolutely insane. Damian Lillard has been the best player in this entire playoffs, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And the stats support that, too.
Yeah. I mean, he dropped 50 points on the series-clinching victory for the Blazers.
Was that the most clutch shot you've ever seen in your entire life?
I think live.
I was thinking about that after I saw that.
Ooh, that's legitimately interesting take, actually. Okay. I think so, at the top of my head. Is there anything you can think
of? Closing a series in Paul George's face. 37 to 39 feet or something.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, from the logo. It was just nuts because he was like dribbling the ball like half court, you know, just past half court. And I was like, what is he doing? Is he like clinching overtime right now? And then I was like, he's going to pull
up.
Yeah.
Waiting for that. I mean, what do you guys think about like the whole mental rivalry or like just the back and forth between Lillard and Westbrook over this series?
The best thing of the playoffs so far. Easily.
And I think Lillard said it right when, you know, there's always been this like rivalry between them, between the two point guards with zeros on their backs. And I think he said this is kind of the final word. And just that wave goodbye that he did at the end.
Oh my God. Disgusting. Disgusting.
Just that look, that cold look on his face that will probably forever be memed in NBA culture. I think that was Lillard having the last word, and that was amazing.
It was great, and if you think about it, too, the turnaround that Portland has gone under after getting swept by the Pelicans last year.
That's what I was just going to talk about.
Basically the same team.
Mm-hmm.
No Nurkic. I mean, it's a big statement.
I know. And
Damian Lillard's here to play.
So I think, you know, and that's opened up a really interesting debate on retaining your guys year after year and not making as many changes in the offseason. And how effective that could possibly be. And, you know, we're witnessing it firsthand with the Trailblazers this year. Because the Thunder were supposed to be, I mean, people were really high on the Thunder. Even I was during, like, that February stretch where Paul George was, lighting it up.
Yeah.
Paul George MVP.
Yeah, the Paul George. Fuck. Yeah, the RIP Paul George MVP case, but unfortunately. But, you know, I think they were like third seed material and potential biggest threats to Golden State. Like that was real, and they got destroyed by a team they destroyed all regular season. You know, because I think they went 4-0 against them in the regular season.
Yeah, and that's nothing new. I mean, the Thunder have been notorious for just getting people's hopes up. I mean, I'd hate to be living in Oklahoma City, just like rooting for that team and just having all this hopes and being like, okay, this third year is really going to be the year where we make it past that first round.
Yeah.
And there we go again, win one game and they're out.
And this has been the best Thunder team since Durant, I think, you know, and it still wasn't enough to get really anything done. I think you got to ask yourself a question. Is this time to, you know, blow up the roster, you know, do 3 first round exits in a row for Westbrook.
Like 1 win? Or no, 3 wins.
3 wins.
In the last 3 years. Especially with Russell Westbrook in 4 years is going to get like $44 million in his contract.
Yeah, people, that's like a John Wall level bad contract.
It's the Supermax, which backfired so hard on the NBA.
And it's funny that you say John Wall too, because I think at this point people are kind of associating kind of the player of John Wall with the player of Russell Westbrook. Just a guard that cannot shoot, that, you know, may put up great numbers in the regular season, but when it comes down to it, man, like, you cannot have a guard that does not shoot and goes for, what, like, four for, what were you saying? Like,
he shot 11 three-pointers in the game five.
Yeah, that's terrible. He's the worst high-volume three-point shooter in the history of the NBA.
He had an historically bad season from deep this year. It was nuts. Nuts.
And is there a way for, this may be a dumb question, but is there a way for an assist to be selfish? Because if there is, that's what Russell Westbrook.
No.
that's really funny, actually. Yeah, I you know, during the MVP season, it was really annoying to see, like, big men like Steven Adams and Enes Kanter, like, they would, like, back off to give Westbrook rebounds, you know, like, and
no,
it's like
free throws. That just drove me crazy.
Yeah, and it's just like, come on, dude. Like, it's still historic and it's still incredible. I love Westbrook still, and I'm still gonna defend him, but, like, I think. But it is a lot tougher. It's a very uphill battle at this point. I don't think Westbrook's plays sustainable at all.
And he plays with such, like, grit. He plays with such energy. And, you know, I so respect him for staying in OKC and kind of having his back and staying loyal. I think that's kind of lost in the NBA culture. But it's just so frustrating to just watch him and to see him go on that podium and do those post-game interviews and just be, I think, is, like, just disrespectful, and then just kind of, like, blow that lead and then kind of come back with that same energy. Yeah. I think, who's the player that broke his leg?
When?
Nurkic.
Yeah. Did you guys see the shirt that he was wearing when
Westbrook,
on the he was like,
I didn't actually.
He had a shirt that said "Got bricks, next question," kind of alluding to how he's always saying "next question" with the interviews.
Oh man, yeah, that's from Nurkic, a B level star, we call it, or a C level star.
Yeah, he's a nice, like, third player tier on that Portland team. He's good in the pick and roll with Lillard.
Yeah, speaking of a good player with Lillard, Enes Kanter, what the hell?
Yeah.
What the hell? How is he putting up, like, I remember that game one, he dropped 18 points, or was it 18 rebounds?
Yeah, like 20 and 18 or something like that.
That's it, yeah. Ridiculous.
I mean, it's hilarious because I believe it was 2 or 3 years ago, there's the notorious, like, Vine, when that was still a thing, or clip or gif, of Billy Donovan in a playoff series telling one of his assistant coaches, I can't play Kanter, because he, like, wasn't, like, sliding his feet on defense.
It's,
he wasn't mobile
on
enough.
Defense.
And then Kanter, 3 years later, torches Billy Donovan.
It's good comeback win for him.
Definitely.
So there really isn't a lot of flexibility with this roster, though, because as Taylor was saying, or was it Taylor or Brian? I don't. One of you guys were saying that he was making, like, $47 million in, like, 4 years or something.
Brian.
Yeah, it was Brian. Yeah, and
he also got Paul George.
You got Paul George on the max.
Million. I think he's on a $38 million contract.
Yeah, and then Schroeder's making a really good amount, too. Steven Adams, I think,
17.
Is a really bad
Steven
contract.
Steven Adams is going to be, like, $27 million in 2 years.
Yeah, he's still, like, 25, which is ridiculous.
He looks 38.
Yeah, he's ridiculous. So I don't really know. There's not a lot of flexibility there. The only player I think you're going to be able to move is, well, you should move, is Steven Adams, but
yeah,
I trade
him tomorrow.
Yeah.
Get any value you can get from him.
That's exactly what it is.
You're not going to want to pay that.
Yeah, because you just want to dump that contract, I think, at this point, because he just was terrible in this series,
too. Let me ask you guys this question and see what you guys think. In today's NBA, does it make sense to pay a center like Steven Adams more than $20 million? I don't think it does.
No, definitely not. With small ball lineups, Steven Adams is just completely going to be irrelevant. As long as small ball is going to be as effective as it is, you know, the common take right now is until, like, a player, like a dominant, strong big man like Shaq gets back in the league, it's just not... It's not realistic to have a true five, I think. You want, like, a stretch four that can, you know, rebound and shoot the three, you know, at five.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah.
I think he's kind of essential almost for Russell Westbrook because he's great on the offensive board. So maybe you get a guard that, you know, gives you less rebounds, makes more of his shots, and then Steven Adams will become a little more obsolete, but...
Yeah. And
every team in the league would be a lot better if they added Brook Lopez to their team.
I agree.
Like that, well, just made me realize that Westbrook Taylor was like, if you have Westbrook, you don't need Steven Adams getting there, getting 10 rebounds a game, because Westbrook's getting him. So if you have Brook Lopez, you can stretch the floor.
Ridiculous, right?
Opens up your team a
and
lot.
There wasn't even like a market last year for Brook Lopez, really. He just signed with Milwaukee, and he's probably the biggest reason why Milwaukee is this good. One besides Giannis, of course, and Chris Middleton and Bledsoe having like the best season.
He just opened up their offense.
No. And that's my point, I guess. But we'll get into let's move on. We've talked a lot about that because that series was super exciting. So Portland is go on. Sorry, Brian.
No, I agree. I was agreeing with you. Sorry.
Okay. No. It's
there's like one more thing to touch on.
Sure. Yeah.
Just kind of a little stat that came about. My knowledge, there's been 6 game-winning playoff shots in NBA history, and Damian Lillard that was his second.
It's
just kind of on the inbound, right?
Just kind of put that in perspective.
Yeah, you like this game winner better, right? This one's better.
This one was. I mean, just with the amount of back and forth between those two teams, that whole series. Being able to, like I think Taylor mentioned earlier, wave them goodbye, that's just unbelievable.
Unbelievable, completely.
So cool.
So we'll move on to their matchup this next round. They're playing tomorrow, Denver. What are you guys' thoughts on Denver? Are you buying them yet?
I don't know. I don't hold it against them that the Spurs took them to 7 games.
Yeah.
Because I think the Spurs are
a terrible
just so well coached. And they have all these guys like that from the D-League that can come in and play really well.
Uh-huh.
But last night down the stretch, like Jamal Murray hit some big shots.
Yeah, no, I know. Murray's had such an up-and-down series, and it's great to see him finally hit something nice, finally. I was looking at the Nuggets bench, though, and I think that's the most concerning part for me is, aside from maybe Malik Beasley... Even Malik Beasley had like a terrible game. They really don't have a lot of depth,
And they're a lot of inexperience. A
lot of inexperience. Jokic, of course, has gone off the last 2 games. He had like 43 points in Game 6 and a losing effort in Game 6, and then 21 point triple double last night.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, and he's still like one of the best passing big men I've ever seen. He's a lot of fun to watch on playmaking.
Yeah, he had last night, and it was, I think,
the no look
under the basket to Craig. With
ridiculous.
Like 3 minutes left. It was to put him up 8, and it was just so effortless, and he's just so good. The one thing I was thinking about, so we were just talking about Kanter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is the fact that Denver's going to keep Jokic on the floor. Like, is Jokic going to just burn Kanter, or does that allow Kanter to, like, stay in the game more because they're always going to have that big out there? You know what I mean? Instead of putting, like, Paul Millsap at the 5, they have Jokic, who's kind of slow. Does that help Kanter, or is Jokic just going to roast Kanter?
I was thinking the same thing, actually, last night. I was wondering if... I think the advantage is going to go for Portland, though, honestly, where they're going to be able to... hopefully kill him with small ball lineups again, because they really don't have a center. It looks like Kanter, he pulled a muscle or something.
Yeah, he has
like
a shoulder injury.
Yeah.
Yes. They have like Myers Leonard and what's his name? The guy from Gonzaga too.
Yeah, I can't remember his name right now, but it's
Collins.
Zach
Collins?
Zach Collins, that's it. Yeah.
He's always trying to fight, and he's like puts way too much hair gel in his head.
It's going to be really interesting to see, because Jokic isn't really like a stereotypical, you know, like 7-foot big man. So I don't know. I think I like Portland in that series, though, actually, because
because of Dame.
Yeah, because if Dame is able to get like 75% of his round one performance, Portland in 5. I think.
Yeah, you know? I think like a lot of the times when you look at a series, like the star power thing is really. One of the first things you should look at. And also, last series, I mean, we were talking about Steven Adams looking old and putting him in pick and rolls. They're going to put Nikola Jokic in every single pick and roll with Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. And we'll see how he holds up. Last night was Jokic's third time this season playing an entire fourth quarter.
Really? Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we'll see how he can hold up, how his conditioning is. Or he might just get cooked like Damian Lillard. Or cooked by Damian Lillard.
I think, with how good CJ McCollum and Dame Lillard has been, I don't know, man. Because you put Gary Harris, probably their best defensive player, on probably Lillard, right?
Yeah, it's probably because McCollum and Lillard are similar sizes. So throw Murray maybe on McCollum. If McCollum can, because Murray's not that good of a defender.
No.
And McCollum was really good last round after an up and down season. So if he can keep going.
Yeah.
I think Portland's going to the Western Conference Finals.
And if I'm Mike Malone, I think I'm okay with CJ McCollum, beating me, type thing.
Yeah.
Like, if it's going to fall on one person, assuming Gary Harris can take out Dame Lillard, which I honestly don't know if that can happen because Paul George
slows him down a little.
Yeah. I definitely think he's not as good as the Thunder series, but I still like Dame Lillard in this series. I think the Jokic stat about the fourth quarter, I think it's because of their depth, though, that they're really going to have to get 40-plus minutes a night out of Jokic to even have a chance in these away games. Denver's historically, very good at home, not so good away. So
yeah, that's why getting the 2 seed was big for them, but I just don't think it'll be enough.
No, I agree. And they're just, going to get cooked in next round, even if Denver wins the series?
I don't see Denver putting up a fight against Houston or Golden State. I think theoretically the Blazers can because of Lillard. But
okay. All right. I think they take one game, maybe two games, but I still like
the Nuggets?
No, Portland in that round three if they move on.
Oh, but, no, I agree. I just don't I don't think the Nuggets could get a game.
No, I agree. I think that would be Sorry, the Denver series still isn't that exciting though to me. Even though last night's game was better towards the end, but it was just so boring for me. I don't know. I don't like Spurs games. I really don't. So we'll move
it's
on.
Tough.
Yeah, we'll move on to. You want to talk about how the Golden State got taken to 6 games by a rowdy Clipper team?
Let's talk about it.
I'm gonna take that as a win. Just to get to 2 wins on one of the greatest teams in NBA history.
I never thought it was they were actually title contenders, but
no,
I think that they were definitely auditioning for a free agent superstar to kind of come to the LA area, maybe not go to the Lakers, but go to the Clippers. Yeah. And I thought that was an excellent audition. I mean, they did everything I think right.
I definitely agree.
I agree. To try not to sound biased, this may be biased, but the Clippers, I'm as a Warriors fan, I'm not that bummed, how the Clippers played the Warriors in a sense. I think the Clippers are a lot better than a lot of the other teams in the West.
Yeah.
If the Clippers played OKC, I would probably bet on the Clippers.
I think I would too.
If the Clippers played the Spurs or the Nuggets, I think those are going 7-2. The Clippers are a dang good team, and I agree with what you're saying completely, Taylor, about them auditioning for Kawhi. I don't know why you wouldn't want to go there. They've got a great coach, a great owner, a lot of good young players.
Yeah.
A lot of cap space.
Yeah.
No drama.
A lot of good trade pieces for maybe one Anthony Davis.
And Doc Rivers said, these guys are the most resilient team that I've ever coached, and that's saying a lot. Doc Rivers has Rivers coached the winning Celtics,
and Tracy McGrady too in Magic era, which I just found out yesterday, which was pretty nuts.
And you know why? I have a quick story about that Magic era.
Go ahead.
So in 2001 or 2000, Tim Duncan was a free agent.
Yeah,
and he met with Doc Rivers and was literally about to sign with the Magic. And Tracy McGrady and Tim Duncan would have been on the Magic. But Doc Rivers told Tim Duncan that it was their team policy that families couldn't ride on the plane.
What?
And Tim Duncan signed with the Spurs. That's a true story. You can look it up.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
We didn't get Tracy McGrady and Tim Duncan because of that.
God, that's such a shame. They could have been so good. But Going back to Golden State, are you concerned at all that they got taken to six games with, even though I know you said Clippers were like a good team, it's still the eighth seed?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not a good sign blowing a 31-point lead.
Yeah.
That was really bad.
Yeah.
But that's just kind of like how the Warriors are.
No, yeah.
They just kind of check out for parts of a game, and it doesn't seem like they're ever going to wake up. I'm very worried about Houston. I think that Houston and Golden State, with all respect to Milwaukee and Toronto, I think those are the two best teams in the league.
I agree.
And I was feeling kind of down about our chances, about the Warriors' chances against the Rockets, until Durant dropping 50 the other night.
Yeah.
So if it's going to be Harden's going to put the Rockets on his back and Durant's going to put the Warriors on his back, I'll take Durant over Harden.
I agree. Listen, I totally agree.
If it's going to be a shootout, I'll take Durant.
And do you have any information about Curry's injury? Is he going to play
Curry
today?
Clay and Curry both have ankle sprains. Curry said he would play Sunday. Clay said the same, but a report just came out this morning that Clay's ankle injury is a lot worse than we thought.
Ooh.
I think he'll play, but I do think we'll see a hobbled Clay when him and Steph are cutting around on those screens. I don't think he'll be at 100%. But
yeah. And what's the official consensus on Boogie's injury?
Or the Rockets.
Boogie out for indefinitely on
done for the year.
Yeah, done for the year, it looks like, which it's such a shame to have two season-ending injuries, you know, back-to-back like that. Because he's just not going to get paid his value, unfortunately.
He's not. I mean, we were talking about big men earlier.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the thing, though. DeMarcus Cousins, I think, could be a stretch five, I think. I mean, he's a little big, but, like, I mean, he shoots a three.
Yeah, he's decently. Just has defensive concerns.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you're right. It's going to be interesting. Also, I think that just made me think about how good Zion is going to be as like the center line, the center in a small ball lineup is going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a dream.
It's going to be ridiculous. I'm so excited. I just really hope Cleveland doesn't get him.
We just can't have Cleveland
Phoenix
go.
Or Phoenix get him either. It would be such a shame. But anyways, we'll get into the Houston. We'll preview the Houston. No, actually, we'll do end of round one matchups, actually. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of all over the place. Milwaukee absolutely destroyed Detroit. I don't really want to spend too much time on this series.
Yeah.
Blake Griffin was hobbling around. It was really sad to see.
Yeah, poor guy.
Yeah, still put up numbers when he did play, though, actually. So, I mean, good for him. And then...
What's the Pistons like? Kind of strategy going forward, like, are they building around Blake Griffin? Is that what they're conceding to?
I honestly, that's a really good question. I don't think you can is the thing. I think Blake Griffin, I don't think will ever be, you know, all-star level play, maybe all-star level, but nothing more beyond that. Like, I think, and unfortunately, I think it's just because this injury looks really bad.
I think Blake can play at that level, but with what the Pistons are asking him to do, I think he has like a 0% chance of making it through the season without an injury.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it was
like,
a shame.
This year he was unbelievable this year. He played so well. But still, he gets to the playoffs and he's like half robot because he had to carry them there. That's why like, if Blake Griffin's going to be successful, he needs to be like the second or third guy on a team. Where he doesn't need to expend as much energy throughout the season, so his knee is in four pieces when he gets to the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Okay, so that makes me think if he takes like a discount deal to like maybe ring chase on.
Dude, he's got like three more years of a supermax.
Yeah, you're right. Actually, dang. Honestly, can they buy him out? Is that possible?
I mean, they'd have to pay him for the next, 40 years.
That's gonna be really tough.
That.
Yeah,
I would love to see it.
Yeah, Detroit's...
It'd be good content for us to talk about.
But Detroit's, not going anywhere anytime soon, for sure.
Uh-huh.
Which I don't know. I'm okay with. We'll talk about the Sixers series as well, because, man, was that exciting and ugly at the same time?
Good way to put it. Yeah.
Brooklyn put up somewhat of a fight to begin with. They really had a chance until a Mike Scott game winner, of all things, in like what, game 3 or 4?
Yeah.
And they just got smoked in every other game, though, besides game 1 and that Mike Scott game winner. The Nets. And now there's a lot of talk that they're going to get rid of D'Angelo Russell.
I wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't either.
Yeah,
I wouldn't
would
either.
Well,
because like the thing is, the philosophy behind it is that they have three really good guards, right?
Yeah.
Caris LeVert, Dinwiddie, and D'Angelo Russell. All of them potential all. I mean, D'Angelo Russell is an all star. Caris LeVert looked like the best player on the floor for the Nets in that series. I think you got to get rid of one of them, I guess, and this might be the chance to. You know, sell high.
You got to pay Russell this summer.
Yeah, and that's going to be the thing, is he wants to come back. He's a restricted agent, but I don't know. He's a lot.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah, very liable defensively, and he didn't play that great in this series.
Yeah, I think with young guards, it's always tough in the playoffs.
It is.
D'Angelo Russell is a high volume shooter throughout his whole career, even when he wasn't good like this year.
He can't get to the free throw line, though.
And here's why. I think. You guys mentioned earlier about how the Clippers were auditioning.
Mm-hmm.
I think Brooklyn's trying to do the same thing.
I agree.
I think it wasn't as successful as the Clippers' first round, but I still think they showed some stuff. I mean, man, if Joe Harris could hit a three like he did in the three-point contest series, my God, it might have been they might have won an extra game.
Yeah, what the hell,
but
Joe?
that was crazy.
Crazy, ridiculous, like this. But yeah, I don't know. I actually really like D'Angelo Russell. I'm a big fan of his, and I like him.
D'Angelo Russell Lakers jersey in your closet somewhere?
No, after that the Swaggy P thing, it burned, dude. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, no, I really hope he gets paid. But I don't think Brooklyn's gonna sign anyone this off season. But I hope. Fingers crossed. But I think they'll probably end up with a B-level. Maybe Jimmy Butler? Question mark. Could be interesting.
Yeah, that could be it. See, with Jimmy Butler, do you guys like? I feel kind of similar about Jimmy Butler the way we're talking about like Westbrook, John Wall. I don't want to give him a supermax.
Oh, I don't either.
Even a max for that.
I definitely
reason.
Feel like he's going to be asking for it.
I don't know. Oh, yeah. I don't think. He can be reasonably asking for a max contract, though, with how his personality is. I don't think his agent can be realistic in that regard. It just doesn't make sense.
I think he's going to try. He's going to try and find, like, a weak, desperate team to pay him. But what I think ends up happening with Jimmy Butler is I think... So he's looking probably for, like, a 4 to 5 year max right now. Wouldn't you guys agree?
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to get, like, a 2 year.
Oh, I think so, too. Yeah.
260, something like that. Some teams can be like... We don't want to have you for 4 to 5 years because we think you're going to get old and injured, but we can give you max contract money in like a 1 or 2 year.
I mean, not even old and injured, but like, he's going to get like upset is the thing. And like in a year on like almost any team, you know, same thing with, you know, the Timberwolves. He wanted to go there and then he wanted out. I mean, I don't see how you can give him a max contract with that.
I don't think that would be smart to do.
No. No.
Do you think that Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons kind of playing together is a sustainable model?
That's a really good question.
I don't.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
So who do you get rid of?
Simmons.
See, yeah, Embiid's the way better piece to build around, but I don't know. Health concerns are a big issue.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's
like a stretch five, though.
He is.
Simmons is like Giannis. That's
and he can pass. I think
Ben Simmons, you need to build like a Bucks-like system around him where he has the ball, he has freedom, and he has shooters.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Totally agree with that. Yeah, Taylor, you're saying he can pass. He's
I mean, you don't like. I think you just need to give him shooters around him, and then
100%. Or if he can develop a jump shot,
is that possible?
I don't. I mean, Giannis is developing a not a great one, but a somewhat competent.
Yeah, but Giannis's shot has always looked like he's shot a basketball before in his life.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons literally is like handed every time he shoots the basketball, it's like he was handed a different thing from a different planet. It's like, dude, you've been passing and dribbling this thing for the last 40 minutes. Learn how to shoot it. But one point I wanted to make was, do you guys remember last year, towards the end of the season, the Sixers won like 20 or 25, like 20 of 25 or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was when Joel Embiid was hurt. And it was Ben Simmons and shooters.
Yeah.
And so take that for what it's worth, but I think that would be really interesting.
I mean, I like Embiid too much, I think, to get rid of. But I think, I mean, the economic move, I think, if you can get Simmons happy, I think I'd keep Simmons for the long term, I think, even though I think Embiid's a way better player.
Probably smart.
There's a lot of drama that comes with Ben Simmons, he's the only starter that'll be a good segue into round two. He was the only starter that had like a good game, a relatively good game, last afternoon against the Raptors. 7 for 8 from the floor, 14 points overall, not great, but. 3 assists. He definitely needs to get the ball moving a little bit more. But, 3 offensive rebounds, 9 rebounds total. He's -7 on the plus minus. I don't know. I mean, Embiid was +4, to be fair, but he went 5 for 18 is the thing.
Yeah, Embiid needs to, like swear off three-pointers for a year.
Yeah.
Because it's gotten to the point where I think like last year, people would guard Embiid on threes. Like, they're not guarding him like he's Steph Curry, but they're definitely trying to get a hand in his face. And now it's like the Simmons treatment. It's like, please, Joel, shoot.
Yeah.
Like, don't post us up.
Yeah, it's getting a little Russell Westbrook-y in that regard too, where it's just like they're begging him to, and they're fine with it if he does make it. But
he's pretty unstoppable when he goes.
But the starters, I wrote down the stat. They were a combined 27 for 73 yesterday. The team overall shot 39% from the floor. That's terrible. That's awful.
I think there was a stat too that Kawhi and
Siakam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what. Oh yeah, it said Kawhi and Siakam alone had had that field goal percentage.
Yeah,
or had those points.
45 from Kawhi, 29 from Siakam.
Ridiculous! Absolutely.
Siakam is just little Kawhi Leonard, or I mean, I guess he's taller. But
yeah,
the combo of those two. I think Kawhi's going to the Clippers, so it's not going to be a combo for that long.
Yeah,
but man, that would be defensively. That is terrifying.
100%. Nick Nurse is just a mad scientist, just like putting these lineups. It's ridiculous. I love it though. Of course that doesn't. What I was gonna say is that the shooting 39% doesn't help when the other team shoots 51% from the floor, like the Raptors did. Siakam went 12 for 15. Kawhi 16 for 23, dropping 45 points.
Yeah, can I give a hot take?
Go.
Is that allowed?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that the Raptors beat the Sixers in 4 or 5.
I
don't know if that's a hot take, but it might not be after last night's game. So false alarm on the hot take, but
it looked really bad.
Quick work out of this. I think Kawhi Leonard owns Ben Simmons. I think Marc Gasol is probably the best big man you can have go against Joel Embiid.
Yeah, well, except Al Horford, maybe.
Al Horford. True.
Well, yeah, but I mean, Marc Gasol plays very similar to Al Horford, actually. So, but it's that same type of big man almost. Go on though. Yeah, I think you're right. I don't have much faith in the Sixers. I don't think any one of their starters is going to have as bad of a game as they did this one. Redick was maybe their best, but he still shot 5
That's
for
never good.
Yeah, exactly right. 5 for 12 from deep. I don't know, man.
They just have like a weird, and I get like I'm not like really blaming the Sixers at all about this, and I'm curious to see what you think. Like, I kind of understand going out and getting talent. Like, I get getting Jimmy Butler, I get getting Tobias Harris, and saying like, oh, we'll figure it out. it doesn't work that easy. And another thing, right now, well, after watching the Sixers playoff game, would you rather have Jimmy Butler or Robert Covington and Dario Saric?
I still think if I'm a playoff team, I still think I want Jimmy Butler. I know. it's dumb. I the depth is more effective after getting like Tobias Harris.
Yeah, those are two more shooters to have too. What you think about it.
So that's the thing though, is if I kept the same players, if I still got that Tobias Harris deal, which again is kind of questionable with Shamet, that's still kind of up in the air.
Shamet looks so good.
He does. But so let's say if we had Tobias Harris, I think I would rather have Saric and Covington. But because that was the first deal made, I still think you do it. You get Jimmy Butler. You got to, I think, in like a GM point of view of getting this massive talent, I still think, if you're a believer.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Do you think Jimmy Butler
resigns there, though?
No. I don't even think the Sixers want him after how...
Tobias Harris, though, you think will.
Yeah, I think Tobias Harris seems very pleased there, and I think they'll give him the max and... be okay with that, maybe. Actually, you know what? I will say it depends how they do in this series. If they get swept, they might blow up this roster.
If they get swept, I think they fire Brett Brown.
Oh, I think if they lose this round, they're firing Brett Brown, I think.
Their team is just nowhere near as good as Toronto.
No, not at all.
Like, they have no one who can guard Kyle Lowry. That was another curious thing about their trades was... The biggest problem for Philadelphia last year they played Boston in the second round last year, right?
Yeah, I want to say.
They have no one who can guard Kyrie Irving or Terry Rozier. Or any guard, really, because they run Ben Simmons as a point guard.
Yeah,
and so you think you want to go this season, go get at least just someone. You don't need to go trade for someone who's super good and super valuable. You need somebody you can put out there to guard other teams' point guards. And they didn't. They just traded away their best defender in Robert Covington.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue Jimmy Butler still can somewhat play elite defense.
Doesn't really, though.
He doesn't anymore. You're right. He expends his energy entirely on offense, it seems. But I agree with you. And they just don't have someone to guard the 6-foot guards. And that's what's going to light them up. I don't know. It's
imagine
nuts.
Damian Lillard against them.
Oh my god. Yeah, he would drop he would average 50 points a game, probably. It would be ridiculous.
So that's something they definitely just got to address this off.
Definitely. And, they might end up trading Ben Simmons maybe anyways. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see.
Maybe they can get Anthony Davis. that wouldn't make any sense with Joel Embiid and Anthony Davis.
No. Well, maybe they could trade Embiid for Anthony Davis. But I don't like that either. Honestly, yeah. I don't like either.
Yeah. I think the city of Philadelphia just loves to be too much.
I agree. Yeah,
for them to trade him, there would be riots.
I totally agree, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens there.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll move on to. I know you have to leave somewhat soon, so we'll do
very, very shortly.
Very shortly.
I can do one more little thing.
One more round two matchup. We can probably continue later with me and Taylor. But Celtics Bucks happening at 10 a.m. 20
today?
Minutes. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
a.m. basketball. Let's go.
Yeah. I'm excited for it. Honestly, this matchup is going to be really interesting.
Yeah, this is definitely the one I've been looking forward to the most.
I agree, because it seems like the Sixers isn't going to live up to the billing I was hoping after that game one. So, I think the Celtics-Bucks series could be really good. I think the Celtics have probably the most tools in the East to guard Giannis, except maybe the Raptors.
I guess. The Raptors actually probably.
Yeah,
both those teams are ridiculously deep.
Yeah, and I don't know. I kind of like the Celtics in this series.
I think it goes seven. I think it's going to be a seven game series.
I think so
just
too.
Like it was last year.
Yeah.
I think only recently have I kind of given confidence to the Celtics, because all season they were definitely worrying me.
Yeah.
And now I feel like they kind of Kyrie's kind of coming in, like, not that he was not in his own, but I think that the Celtics roster have respected Kyrie in a way that they probably weren't.
To your point, mentally, he was not in the zone.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Seems like they're more cohesive as a team. Also, the last 6 weeks, Gordon Hayward has looked like Gordon Hayward.
Yes. Yeah. And that's I think that's
Which
the biggest
huge.
Thing.
Gordon Hayward's
for me.
An all-star.
I know. If he, and he's so athletic, too. Like, surprisingly
yeah,
athletic.
Really take it to the rim. And so
yeah.
That's the thing I was looking for. Because he had a couple games early in the season where he had, like, Christian had, like, a 30-point game, but it was all, like, he just was on fire from three.
Yeah.
And so it's like, that's cool. But, like, Gordon Hayward can go into the lane and dunk.
Yeah.
And be physical. And so seeing him do that stuff again is really encouraging.
I mean,
and with Milwaukee, you're just worried about whether or not Brogdon is going to come back.
Yeah.
Does how healthy he is.
That's the question mark on the series, I think, because with Brogdon at full strength, that Milwaukee team is going to be really tough to beat. And I don't know if the Celtics can do it, but right now I like the Celtics in the series. I don't know why.
Wow.
I just think that if you, like, I look at the rotation, their 8-guy rotation minus the Marcus Smart injury, I'm okay with any one of those players on the floor at any time, really. I mean, they're so deep and they're so good. I don't know. I just think, also think Brad.
Great coaches, too.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I like Brad Stevens a little bit better than Budenholzer, just based on Budenholzer's track record in the past in the playoffs. So I don't know. It's going to be really interesting. A lot of creativity, I think, I hope, with Giannis, and it's going to be fun to see him.
Well, it'll be really cool, I think, that we'll see maybe in, like, games 3 or 4 of the series as it, like, moves along, is the Celtics are going to be able, like, they're a team that can go so small and really, like, make the Bucks think about having Brooke Lopez out there on the court. Because Brooke Lopez does stretch the floor on offense, obviously, because he can shoot the three. But when you have him on defense, is he going to be able to move around on the perimeter with, say, like, Al Horford if you're running smaller, if you run even smaller and have, like, Morris?
I don't think so.
Because that's the thing, that, like, the Bucks, they have all these great shooters, but they aren't good defenders. Like, it's like, Nikola Mirotic is not a good defender.
No.
Brook Lopez is not a good defender. So you got to try and – the Celtics, I think, need to use their speed to try and get the Bucks shooters off the floor. But the Bucks have Giannis.
Definitely agree. All right, so you got to go, but before you go, real quick, I want to ask you conference finals picks. What do you think?
Are going to be the conference finals?
Yeah. What's your picks?
I'll take Warriors, Portland, and I will take. You really almost convinced me there with the Celtics, Josh. You're in my head.
Yeah. It's going to be really interesting.
I'm going to take Raptors, Bucks. I picked the Bucks to go to the finals in the beginning, so I'll stick with it.
Fair enough.
I think the Raptors are my finals pick now.
Yeah, but I think I have them too in the finals right now. I think they beat either team. But yeah, no, solid picks. And then Golden State in the finals for. I think
Golden State, Toronto, I think right now.
That's what I have on my board, too.
I wish Houston took care of Golden State, though. It's going to be.
Yeah, that's going to be. Oh, I can't wait for that. So thank you so much, Brian, for joining.
Hey, great talking to you guys.
Yeah, of course. Taylor and I will finish off the show, but yeah, hopefully you can just drop by some point again, Brian.
Yeah, maybe talk again next week or something.
Yeah, thank you for making time. Pleasure having you. We're going to take a short break. Get into some music, and then get right back to basketball. So thank you.
All right. Take it easy, boys.
You too, man. So let's get into the last series we didn't talk about, is that Houston Golden State series. So opening thoughts, Taylor, what would you like to start with?
I agree with everything that Brian said about his, you know, conference final brackets, except I think the Rockets are going to
take
that series.
Hey, I kind of agree. I could see that going to 7 games, and I like the Rockets in this series a lot, especially with these injuries in Golden State. Steph Curry just hasn't been playing too great either.
Yeah. They've been kind of isolated. Yeah. They've been kind of playing him so they make him, like, kind of the last option.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's what the Clippers did, but yeah.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, though. I don't know. You know, Durant has been killing it lately, though. And that's the one thing I'm a little scared of, I guess, if I'm Houston. I don't know, though.
You think that, like, Kevin Durant having I mean, the media, like, kind of skeptical mm-hmm. about if he's really going to stay with them. And he's made no effort to kind of...
Oh, I think he's gone.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Yeah.
And that can drastically mess up the chemistry. I mean, it definitely did for a while with that whole Draymond Green, like, B-word incident.
Yeah.
And I think that's still kind of carrying with him.
No, I agree. And I think it's going to be interesting to see. But, I mean, you got to remember, though, this team was a 73-9 team without Durant, though.
So. Yeah.
I mean, if they can get back to that form, even though, you know, it's like, what, 4 years removed now, you know, it's still going to be a good team, I think, minus Durant.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, Draymond might be a problem, though, chemistry-wise, too, though.
Yeah.
Maybe,
you think they get rid of Draymond?
I think they might trade Draymond, too, honestly. Steve Kerr really has had enough of him, it seems. Like, did you see that one GIF or the video of... Draymond like getting injured and then like falling right in front of Steve Kerr?
No, I did not. what happened?
He like hurt his leg or pulled a muscle or something, and he like is like after a shot or something like that, and he's like hobbling over and falls right in front of the Warriors bench and the coaching staff, like literally at Steve Kerr's feet, and Steve Kerr takes like 2 minutes to notice Draymond like rolling in agony on the floor. It's really funny.
It's hilarious.
It is, yeah. Check it out, because it's it's just nuts. It just seems, yeah, that's the chemistry wise it's the scariest thing, but pure talent alone, yeah, I mean
you can just look at the stats when Kevin Durant doesn't play and when Steph Curry doesn't play. It's very clear what the key to that whole system working is.
No, yeah.
And I think Kevin Durant knows that.
Yeah.
And he's like, I kind of want to be appreciated more, because that's kind of been his whole deal.
Yeah.
For being in the NBA, kind of.
Totally agree with you. Yeah. Steph Curry, do you remember he was out with that groin injury early on in the series? And Golden State just wasn't.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
No, I love it too. As you know, like, we're both LA fans. So, yeah. I mean, we're, you know, they're both in our, the Warriors are in our division. And I just don't like the Warriors. I really don't.
Yeah, I especially don't like Kevin Durant. I just think and just seeing the way they play, just seeing how bad Kevin Durant was doing and just not being able to, you know, be the same type of carrier that Steph Curry is, it brought me pleasure in seeing his misery. But
yeah, no, I totally agree. So what's your keys to why do you think Houston's going to win?
I think Houston's going to win because, one, they have a healthy Chris Paul now, and like last series.
Chris Paul could get any shot he wanted in that last series.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that they were a little bit iffy. They kind of definitely scared me in the beginning with the whole Carmelo. But I think they've had more time to kind of like group themselves and kind of get their composure than Golden State has, because Golden State's had its own chemistry problems. They both have kind of chemistry problems, but
no, Golden State or Houston looks like they're running on all cylinders. Speaking of, can you believe that Carmelo incident was this season?
That's like, insane. Yeah,
that's
even,
right?
even just saying it.
Yeah,
even just saying that.
It feels like it was last year and just like a completely different team. And now we're looking at them and they're just rolling. You know, insane. James Harden has been arguably the best player in the league this season.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. What's your MVP, Giannis or Harden? Who do you like better?
There's so much emotion behind this because I absolutely do not like James Harden.
Listen, I'm not a huge fan of his play style either, but
it's just frustrating to watch. Yeah. But I just think that you can't deny a season like that despite.
Agreed.
You know, despite the fact that he puts up so many shots, despite the fact that he plays in a way that is just so difficult to watch because it's basically just watching him shoot free throws.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think that you can't deny that James Harden like put that team on his back, and they didn't do exceptionally well, but they were winning.
For a while towards the end of the stretch, you know, they had a shot at the number two seed.
Yeah.
Just with like Houston, I mean, basically Harden playing ultimate hero ball, basically. And we're still winning all these games with him dropping like these insane amount. Yeah, that like 30-point streak for like half the season.
And there was some stat where it was insane. It was like the last 150 points that he scored were unassisted. Like, they just, like, he did not nobody was giving him the ball. It was just all him, just all, this is my team. This is how I'm going to run it. This is how I'm going to,
yeah,
everything goes through me.
Right now, I think I have him, maybe, if he can beat Golden State this series, I think I have him as, like, the number three shooting guard of all time, actually. Ooh. Yeah, just below Kobe and Michael Jordan, yeah, actually. Michael Jordan being above Kobe. Sorry, so I should have said below. Yeah. Anyways, that's how good Harden has been. I also have him for my MVP. I see the case for Giannis, though, because Giannis is better team success.
Yeah.
You know, he actually took his team to the first seed. On limited minutes, though, pretty much, Giannis played like 30 minutes a game versus Harden played like an insane 39, 40.
Oh, they were playing him in blowouts just so he could get those stats.
Oh, I know, which is the one thing I don't like stat chasing. It's not fun to watch. But I mean, Harden has been historic this season. Giannis has been very, very good. Again, on 30 minutes per game, he averaged like 28 points, you know, 6 assists and like 9 rebounds. That's off the top of my head.
Do you think if you put James Harden on the Bucks that they're the number one team in the NBA?
Like without Milwaukee? Yeah. Or without Giannis, I mean?
Yeah.
No, but I think that's a scheme thing more so. Because
yeah, definitely. That's an unfair question, I feel like. But yeah, it's just nice to kind of ponder.
Yeah, and so that's the thing is, like, Giannis is the ultimate player in this kind of small ball spread offense style of NBA.
Yeah.
Right? Where if you put shooters around him, it's no question. Like, they have a chance in any game, whatever, you know. As long as shooters are hitting, with Giannis, he can drive in, get anything he wants. It's ridiculous.
So do you have the Warriors winning that series?
I think I do.
I think it's just me being a contrarian.
I know, and I like Houston. I want the upset to happen, and I really hope it does, but I just can't. Durant, Curry, they're going to win too many games in this series, I think.
So it's Warriors all the way after that?
Yeah, that's how I have it, is the Warriors to the finals. Because I think the conference finals is going to be a lot easier for either Houston or Golden State. So I think either one of those teams that win gets to the finals. But Houston, Golden State, I think, are probably finals picks, I think. Either one of those teams, I like them against the East, I think.
Me too. That's why I'm maybe just trying to make it a self-fulfilling prophecy that, because I know the Rockets are going to be the biggest
hurdle.
Warriors have to get over.
Totally agree. And we knew that going into it. Yeah. So it's exciting to see. But unfortunately, that's really all the time we have today. Thank you so much, Taylor, for joining me.
Absolutely. I'll see you next week.
Next week. Yeah. You should be a permanent fixture, hopefully, in this show. So very excited. We'll have most of round 2 to unpack now. Next week, we'll get into that. Probably maybe change our final picks, depending on the series. Thank you so much for tuning in. This has been Basketball, the Pick and Roll on KCPR. And without further ado, we got Niklas taking the mic at 10. So thank you so much. We're going to play some Kendrick on our way out. See you guys.